Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, the Armor Report, where we cover investing in today's stock market through the millennial lens. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. This is a live trading desk. So sometimes, like yesterday, we get interrupted by phone calls while we're doing the call. That's just the way it is. Sorry about that. This is real information off of a real trading desk where we're actually using this information to manage capital, both my own personal capital and that of high net worth investors we work with. And I do this every day at 12 o'clock, really from I come at it from a cathartic standpoint. And so I really appreciate you listening because it's really helping me out. I mean, I hope I help you out by sharing information about the millennial market and how it's changed and how you can more effectively manage your capital. But for me, this is catharsis. And this is also repetition to make sure that I follow through on what my millennial execution tools are telling me. So we're going to get into a sticky period in the market. Let's get right to what it is we do here. We marry traditional fundamental analysis with the millennial execution tools of VWAPs and algorithms and exchange-traded funds and those types of tools, things that your dad and your granddad didn't have access to. So the first thing I like to do on the show is I always like to look at the top four indexes, or top five, really, indexes, and look at how our proprietary algorithms are treating the market's behavior. And so you all know who follow the show and who have been following us on Twitter at hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R, report. Armor stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. In the millennial market, you've got to come at risk management first, and capturing upside second. It's imperative that you manage your risk first in the world we live in today. And if you don't believe what I'm saying, then just look at your portfolio at the start of October and at the end of October. The rapidity with which the market collapses and takes away what you think are fantastic gains in your portfolio is so intense in today's market that if you don't manage the risk right, all the hard work you put in from the fundamental investing side gets wiped out in a very short period of time. And it just wasn't like that in your dad's market. It just wasn't. The market would go through a period of adjustment and change. It would go from a bull market to a bear market with a nice consolidation top that would form. Everyone's heard of things like head and shoulders and double tops and all these things. Those don't really exist in today's market. Today's market, you go from a ripping bull market to a collapse in a month. We told you here on the Armor Report to sell all your small and mid-cap stocks on the 24th of September. And a month later, the whole index is down over 15%. And that's just an index. You can imagine the destruction going on in individual stocks that are small cap. That's just the index in a month. So you've got to come at this from a risk management side first. You manage your risk, and then you capture upside when the opportunity presents itself. You do your research. You continue. I have a lot of respect for fundamental analysis of business trends and company earnings and revenue and potential. But you've got to manage risk first and then build your portfolio second when the opportunity of reward versus risk is right. So the news stories of the day that I care about, that I think really affect the market, are ones that have to do with the Federal Reserve. I think everything else is noise. I really believe that. I think that trade talks, tariffs, caravans at borders, elections, midterm, none of it means anything to the market from a you know, more than a day or two reaction. But what really has a lasting effect on market direction is what central banks are doing. Are they adding liquidity or subtracting liquidity? That's it. If we've learned anything from the last decade, the world changed in 2008. We had a financial crisis and a collapse, and the genie's out of the bottle now, where central banks are allowed to buy equity indexes whenever they want and in methods that you can't always see until it's over and the assets are a lot higher. This is what's going on for 10 years. And quite frankly, it's why the hedge fund industry is in such disarray. It seems like every day now, every week, a major hedge fund closes its doors and sends back its capital. Billions of dollars. Guys who were kings of industry a decade ago, even 5 years ago, have suffered dramatically in the last 5 years for sure, and probably 10, because their ability to hedge has been rendered moot by the fact that the central bank, either here or abroad, will support equity markets. And, you know, until that possibility changes, if it ever does, probably hedge funds are done. Hedge funds, you can't hedge in a market where a central bank buys the equity market. What's the point of hedging? Every week, these guys are going out of business. Every week, more money gets plowed into the passive side of the market. That's very dangerous if the Fed steps away and stops supporting the market. And we don't know when the Fed comes back. We don't know. This is why markets have dropped precipitously in the month of October. The Fed came out at the end of September, made comments that they're going to be raising rates. They're not data dependent. They think the economy is, you know, fantastic, and they're going to raise rates in December and raise rates three times next year. That's further liquidity reduction. So let's look at 2018. The first year in 10, or maybe more than 10 years, that the Fed's been raising rates. And what's the performance of equity markets? Flat right now with wild volatility. And that's just the big indexes, right? Individual stocks, some of them have just been destroyed. And it's only really been one bad month. But if you look at the whole year, it's just been ripping back and forth as the market tries to figure out what the heck do we do in a changing environment where we think the Fed is supporting, but the Fed's not supporting. And then everyone wakes up to the fact that there's just no liquidity. And so the market falls through a trap door. That's why I call these podcasts in the last 7 days covering the crash. Is it hyperbole or is it reality? I say covering the crash. I think I've named it covering the crash because I'm trying to take a pickaxe to your complacency. Wake up. I don't know if it's a crash or not. But what I know is after 10 years of making money because of central bank largesse, we're in a world now where they're not adding liquidity. And if you just keep your eyes closed and say, hey, I'm going to dollar cost average on the way down, you could wake up in a very, very ugly position, particularly if you're a baby boomer, you've got retirement assets, Gen Xer, right? You're building up your wealth and now you want to put capital to work in equity markets and build for retirement. You cannot be complacent in a world where the Fed is reducing liquidity. Okay, having said all of that, the algorithms on the S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ, the small cap, and the mid cap are all in a position to give us a risk on entry signal. I bet you didn't expect to hear that. So there's two things going on here. I have algorithms that I use to put capital to work and manage portfolios, and then I have philosophy of what I think is going on. Philosophy doesn't make us money. If we get buy signals across the board on every index at the end of the day today, we are putting money to work. Now, my philosophy might determine how much money I put to work depending on the risk tolerance of the person I'm working with and whatever my risk tolerance is in my own account. That's where philosophy comes in. But when we get risk on every index at once, that typically means markets will go higher for a certain period of time. It's usually a very bullish signal. Now, in 2008, that happened about five times, and every time was a loser, right? So in a bear market, these entry points will lose money. We have a long-only algorithmic strategy that I talk about on this show. I have shorting algorithms. We'll talk about that later. But for what I talk about every day on this show, they're long only. It's either long or cash. And in a bear market, in a downtrend, we're going to get risk on signals that fail. Be prepared for that. Nothing to be upset about. We created mad alpha this month. Market's down something like 9% for the month. We're off 4% from our highs. The market's down more than double what we're down in month one of the sell-off. Okay? That's just a basic overall, and I'm talking about my own personal assets. You know, a model portfolio using algorithms. So we're going to lose a little bit off the top. We never top tip things. This is not about top ticking. This is about being on the right side of probability and statistics and using the correct stops to maximize your gains in a bull market, but protect capital when things go wrong. So we've protected capital this month. We have a big cash position. We may get a buy signal or an entry signal, risk on signal across the board in all the indexes at the end of the month. And so I'm going to have to determine how much money to put to work. That's going to be the key. I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm just telling you that the market's in that position, and it's been in that position for the last couple of days. So a big up day that follows through, which is what today is, the big up day. If it follows through and closes near the highs, that probably turns us bullish. Think about it. For the whole month, we've had gap ups that have failed. So if this gap up actually holds and closes strong, it probably means that there's upside in the weeks to come. We may be in an overall downtrend and in a beginning of a bear market, but there could easily be a rip and rally back up to the downtrending 50-day moving average. The market could go all the way to the 50-day. If you look at the S&P, 271 where we're trading right now on SPY, it could go all the way to 285 and still be in a downtrend. That's a serious move. And so what we might end up doing is getting long here, having to rally up to that downtrend, book profits at that downtrend, and start shorting. We're going to have to be nimble in here. It's going to be tough. And because the volatility is fierce, we can reduce our position size. So anything you want to do in here, in my recommendation, and of course you have to look at your own risk tolerance and figure this out for yourself. Some guys are willing to take more risk for more upside, but are going to lose more money. Other guys don't want to take any risk. For guys who don't want to take any risk, if we have risk on all the algorithms at the end of the day today, and you don't want to take any risk, that's okay. I'll tell you, typically after a beatdown that the market has taken, the first buy signal off the bottom is usually not a great signal. It might last for a couple of weeks. The market might grind higher for a couple of weeks, but it's not really the greatest long-term entry point. So if you're very conservative and you're looking for a great entry point that could result in a multi-month hold on your positions, then what you do is you avoid the first buy signal off of the bottom and you look to load up on the second if you make higher lows after you test the low. But we live in a strange world and a strange market, and it doesn't always follow that type of a path. It just doesn't. It doesn't do what you want it to do. It doesn't double bottom. It just sometimes V bottoms. The market will rip to new highs on the year for all I know. I don't know. So what I do is I personally, with my own personal money, I come in somewhere in the middle. I know that typically if I go back 20 years and look at the entry points after big sell-offs using our algorithms, the first entry point is usually, it's either a loss or it results in a small gain over a couple of weeks where we buy, it runs up to a target, we sell some, it comes back down and takes us out at a raise stop. That's like statistically speaking what happens most often when we get a buy signal off of a major ass kicking like this. An ass kicking is a technical term. Okay. So think about what type of investor you want to be. If you're real conservative, there's nothing wrong with skipping an entry point after a big sell-off and waiting for a double bottom, or waiting at least for some type of a test of the low to make sure it's in. If you're real aggressive, then you put your capital to work and you're just willing to take your loss if you get stopped out. I mean, I could be sometimes when we get long indexes or on these algorithms, sometimes the very next day we're stopped out. You know, you get thumped, boom, down 2%. The whole market implodes and you're out waiting for the next signal. All right. So you really got to look in the mirror tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, or at Brett Rosenthal, B-R-E-T Rosenthal. You can, don't forget to check our website, rosenthalcapital.com, because we'll put up in our real-time risk-on, risk-off monitor where the risk-off signals are, where the risk-on signals are. Right now, they're all risk-off. And at the end of the day, my guess is there's going to be some risk-on, unless this market really gives up all of these gains. I mean, if it really implodes, then that won't be the case. But I suspect it's the end of the month after big selling, and my guess is the market will hold on to most of these gains today. So we'll get some type of a risk-on signal at the end of the day, and I'll let you know at 3:30, between 3:30 and 4, I'll try to tweet out there what we're doing and, you know, update the website somewhere at that period also. I mean, it's a live trading desk, so I'll be probably very active in the last half hour today if I have to be, in which case I'll update after the close. Moving on. I wanted to say that, you know, I always like to kind of reveal to you things that I write down and want to reveal to my children. I have a five-year-old son, two-year-old daughter, and I'm building a little black book of investing knowledge, and I try to share it with you as I build it. I'm going to give it to them when they turn 18. And one thing I would say in today's market is when you get a sell-off this aggressive, it usually takes time to build a real investable entry point. Look back at most recently the February, March collapse, you know, January peak, February, March, April. It took 3 months for the market to set up another entry point that really paid off over a multi-month period. And what tends to happen for investors is that, you know, you've had these stocks on your wish list for so long as they kept going higher and higher and higher. And then you see Amazon or Google or Facebook or, you know, any of these big names drop 25% in a month, and you think you've got to jump in right now. You're never going to get a shot at that again. That's usually not the case. That's just emotion talking. Be patient. Do your homework. Find the names you want to own. It may not be those old names that rise. There may be better names to put capital in. Okay, so kind of the rule, the thought today is after a big sell-off like this, you can take your time to rebuild a portfolio. You don't have to rush in at the first sign of strength. Now, I do want to share with you, I told you, I've been tweeting out that I'm going to discuss the marijuana stocks, and I'm going to do that in a minute because it's incredibly important, that conversation. But before I get there, I just want to share a thought with you that just really drives me crazy. So this is the cathartic part of the show. My son asked me the difference between Democrats and Republicans, and you know, reminded me. And I mean, there's many ways to answer that question. and I'm trying to be bipartisan with him. And I'm going to say to him, son, Democrats have a lot of lofty humanitarian goals that sound great. I don't disagree with a lot of the things Democrats say, but Republicans and their ideas are more practical in reality. And this is why there's that common saying that when you're if you're not a Democrat when you're young, you have no heart. And if you're not a Republican when you're older, you have no brain. That's why that saying is out there. There's a lot of great things Democrats want to do. But in reality, when you try to apply it to a country the size of the United States of America, it doesn't work. So one's altruistic and one's practical. You have to decide what you want to be. But let me give you an example of what I mean. There is such a hue and cry over drug pricing. This drives me crazy. People will twist news and information for their agenda. And this is why you have to be careful about the lies that you hear in the news or whomever's talking to you. What is their angle? This is what I teach my children. I'm going to teach them this. Everyone's got an axe to grind. Figure out what their axe is so that you understand in context what they're saying. I don't want to get off too much on a rant here, but let's just look at Gilead Pharmaceutical. It's a great company. And yet it was in the news and disparaged over and over again, particularly by the progressive left-wing liberals, that it was charging too much for its drugs. It's so wrong. How can it charge that? Okay, well, let's look now at its last earnings announcement. And what they said on the last earnings call is that the people who are using their drug for hepatitis C, patient population is declining dramatically. You know why? Because they're curing people of a deadly disease. This isn't Lipitor. This isn't a drug you take every day for the rest of your life. This is a drug that saves your life, that you don't have to take anymore once you're cured. And yet people pretend they have an apples to oranges conversation. They point to the price of the drug and say, that's not right, as opposed to looking at the life of a patient and how it cures said patient, so that they don't have the disease. It's not apples to apples to compare it to other drugs that you take the rest of your life. Oh, the stupidity drives me crazy. Let's move on. Marijuana stocks. Here's another stupid thing in the market you got to take advantage of. The market got crushed in the month of October, and they've literally unwound these marijuana stocks back down almost to the price they were trading at when Constellation Brands put $4 billion into Canopy. What, all of a sudden, the marijuana business is broke? Do you know how rare it is to get a second shot at a watershed event? And now look, I don't have an axe to grind here. I sold stock higher. I'm not upset. I'm not a marijuana guy upset. I wasn't married to the idea. I bought it at 27 MJ, and I told you all to buy it. This was on the 15th of August, and the stock more than doubled. The stock was up more than 50%, and the stocks that were in that index more than doubled and tripled in some cases. So I sold some stock up there. We hit targets. We have algorithms. We book profits. That's how it works. So this is a gift to me. I can't believe it's come all the way back down, and MJ's trading at 30 and change right now. We added to our position. We had a small position that we intend to hold a long time. We had a small position yesterday, and off of the lows yesterday, We were adding to MJ. It was a very simple add to me. The question was, has the fundamental story changed at all for MJ? Marijuana stocks. MJ is the ETF that holds the marijuana stocks. The answer was no. And yet the stock was trading at the low yesterday around 28 and change. I mean, I paid 27 for my lot back in, on the 15th of August, and it was trading at only a dollar and change higher after a $4 billion investment into the industry, after we know Coca-Cola and Altria and everybody's looking to invest in the space. These are big players. This is a watershed event. There's no way we'd be getting a shot at these names again at these prices without a market collapse in the month of October. This market collapse is a gift for anybody who didn't act quickly on the watershed event that occurred in the middle of August for the marijuana stocks. What a gift. So we added to our position yesterday. We're waiting for some type of consolidation to build anywhere in, around these prices. And when we get the next algorithmic buy signal, we'll be doubling and tripling our position size. I don't know when that'll be. You really beat up these stocks. So what I'm doing is I'm using weakness and I'm buying on weakness. Days where they get whacked, I add a little bit. Days that it gets whacked, I add a little bit to rebuild the position that I sold up in the 40s. And when we finally get the next algorithmic buy entry point, that's when I'll start to really ratchet up my purchasing. I don't know when that'll happen. I mean, if the whole market, you know, is done going down and starts to head higher, my guess is these stocks are going to make their way right back up towards the highs. It's a vicious market. I mean, it's a small market. That's the thing. Not a lot of people own the marijuana stocks, believe it or not. Nobody cared about them until Constellation Brands came along and put $4 billion into CGC. So there's not a lot of institutional ownership. You know, if you watched a recent interview with the CEO of Canopy, he said that, you know, he didn't really meet with any institutions before the Constellation Brands announcement. And now he's been traveling around the world. And, you know, it seems like every day institutions are calling him up, wanting to meet with him, wanting to understand the Canopy story and the marijuana business. These are institutional investors. It's a small space with a huge amount of institutional interest wanting to get in. So right now you're still dealing with retail investors and a lack of liquidity in the space. But over the next 3 to 6 to 12 plus months, institutions are going to be pouring money into this group. And I guarantee they're doing it on weakness. They're not going to be buying it when it's already up 50%. They're going to buy it on weakness. But it takes time for institutions to get the gears moving, get approval, talk to everybody that has to approve the idea, and then start accumulating. Institutions, big institutions running big money, don't move quick. They do their research. They take time. We can move faster. So we take this massive weakness in this group, and we don't worry about it. This is not Bitcoin all over. These aren't tulips, although they are buds. But they're buds everybody has been using for centuries. This isn't going away. This is just getting started. So we're using the weakness to do our homework, do our research, find the companies we want to own, and start buying on weakness and then adding on algorithmic entry points. Hope you all have a good day of trading, a safe day of trading. Have fun out there collecting candy tonight, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.